Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our sermon this morning comes in the form of a question that I hope you will answer by the end of our sermon. Our title is, will it be God's sacrifice or yours? Based on the gospel reading which was just read, especially finding our theme in the first verses which read again, the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons, and the money changers sitting there, and making a whip of cords, he drove them out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. Again, our title, God's Sacrifice or Yours? And you'll find the sermon outline printed on the insert, blue insert today, I believe it is, inside your bulletin. The young girl lay bound on a large stone altar outside her village. She was the one this year that was chosen to be the sacrifice to the gods on behalf of her village. Terror filled her heart. And as the priest of the village drew closer to her with a large ritual knife raised above her head, panic filled her heart. And suddenly the knife was plunged and her blood flowed over the altar. The sacrifice for the year was made. And a collective sigh was heard from all the people in the village, especially from those homes that had young girls. Perhaps this year, they hoped, perhaps this year, the gods would accept their sacrifice and would smile down upon their village. Strange story, isn't it? But many cultures throughout the world have used human sacrifice as a way to somehow please the so-called gods. Human sacrifice is a part of a deeply human religious drive. And our question of our sermon today asks this: what kind of sacrifice are you trying to make to get right with God? To be human, notice your outline, to be human means to be religious. So say anthropologists, the earliest records of people, the ruins of civilizations, the studies of the most primitive tribes help us see this. To be human means to be religious, to feel accountable to someone or something that's greater than ourselves. But St. Paul in the Holy Scripture says the same thing. In Romans 2, verse 15, St. Paul writes these words: God has written His law on every human heart. That is, whether or not human beings know the Ten Commandments that were listed out in our Old Testament reading for today, whether people can even number the Ten Commandments, St. Paul says, God has written His law in every human heart. What does that mean? That means every human being in their heart knows what's right and what's wrong. Every human being knows in their heart there is a God. And Martin Luther asks a question: what does it mean to have faith in a God? What is a God? Luther asked in his catechism. Listen carefully. Luther said, a God is whatever you look to for your highest good. A God is whatever you fear, love, and trust above everything else. A God is what gives you meaning and purpose in life. And using that definition, all people are religious, even if they don't use the same words and the same concepts that we use in the church. But also, point two, notice your outline. To be human is to be separated from God. With God's law and His commandments written in every person's heart, we can make two safe assumptions. And here's assumption number one. We have broken God's laws, and we are separated from Him. Separated. That's a word that's commonly used of a broken or a failing marriage. Separated. That's a word that describes there where there once was a relationship that existed, now it's broken or severely strained. And that's what the Holy Scripture says is the reality with our relationship with God. Our relationship has become strained. It has become broken. It has become separated. That's one of the messages of this, our Lenten season. Our relationship with God isn't what it should be. And this is due to our rebellion, due to our sin, due to our commandment-breaking ways. It's been true since Adam and Eve. The first results of their separation from God were these results. Number one, they listened to the lies of the devil in the form of the serpent. Two, they tried to hide from God. And three, they blamed each other. And this leads us to our second assumption today. Because we are separated from God, we feel it's up to us to do something about the separation. We feel we must make a human sacrifice. We feel there must be something I have to do to fix it, to mend this separation from God. It all depends on me. I must make some kind of a sacrifice to make it right. That's why religious people from many cultures have even sacrificed one of their own to get right with God. Thus, the introductory story to our sermon. But here's the question this morning. And if you've had a tendency to fade off or think about other things so far in the sermon, now it's time to really listen. Because this is the question of this sermon today. What kind of sacrifice are you trying to make to get right with God? Think about this as we now move further into our gospel lesson. People in Jesus' day felt the need to address this separation from God. Listen to our gospel reading. The Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons and many money changers sitting there. People felt the need to get right with God, and they were preparing animal sacrifices that they hope would give them assurance of forgiveness, that they hope would overcome their separation with God. And the merchants set up shop in the outer places of the temple. We'd call it maybe the narthex or the parking lot. It was a great place to sell sacrificial animals. It was a great place to make money. But suddenly, Jesus springs into action. Jesus rejected the exercise of human religion. He rejected this exercise of human sacrifice. Listen to the text. And making a whip of cords, Jesus drove them out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen. He poured out the coins of the money changers, overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the pigeons, "Take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of trade." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." Jesus committed a shocking action. Imagine him coming into our place of worship today and overturning all our things of worship, causing a hubbub and a fuss. People were wondering, what is Jesus trying to do here? Jesus ruined their plans for sacrifice. Jesus ruined the money-making schemes of the money changers. Jesus rejected, therefore, human religion and human attempts to get right with God on their own attempts, no matter, listen carefully, no matter how religious these attempts seemed to be. We said so far these things. To be human is to be religious. To be human is to be separated from God. And point three, to be human is to need a Savior. Did you hear me? To be human means to need a Savior. Now, you may all politely nod your head in agreement, but many people today, inside the church and outside of the church, are still practicing human sacrifice and human religion. Remember I asked you earlier, what sacrifices are you trying to make to get right with God? None of them will work. Proverbs 14, verse 12 says these words, "There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end of that way is death." The way that seems right to us and so many people is there must be something I have to do to get right with God. But the writer of Proverbs says the end of that way of thinking only leads to death. Now back to our sermon title. Will it be God's sacrifice or yours? Are you depending on your good deeds? Are you depending on your church attendance? Are you depending on the attempts you make to earn God's love? Are you depending on the sacrifices you make to get right with God? You're not sure if you are or not? Here is the acid test. Here is the acid test or proof that you're depending upon your own deeds, your own lives, your own sacrifices to get right with God. Here it is. It's the answer to this question I'm going to ask you now. Let's say that you were to die this very day. You were to die this very day and stand before Almighty God, and He were to ask you this question, "Why should I let you into my heaven?" If your answer at all sounds like this, because of my good deeds, because of my good life, because I'm a member of the church, because of all the sacrifices I've made in following you, then you know you are practicing the religion of human sacrifice. And what's so bad about that? How can you ever know you have ever done enough to earn your way to heaven? We cannot. But today, I have good news for you. The good news is this: Jesus is the end of human sacrifice. Did you hear me? Jesus is the end of human sacrifice. Listen to our text. So the Jews said to Jesus, "What sign do you show us for doing these things?" That is, the mess He's just made in the temple. Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews said, "It's taken 46 years to build this temple. You're going to raise it up in 3 days?" Jesus had just caused tremendous chaos in the temple. And the religious leaders asked Jesus, "By what authority are you doing this?" And Jesus answered them with this statement, "If you destroy this temple, 3 days I'll raise it up." And He was talking about His body. He was saying, "When I die on the cross, 3 days later I will be raised from the dead." And that, my friends, is my authority to reject all human attempts to get right with God. My death and my resurrection is my authority to reject the practice of human sacrifice. So that it begs the question this morning, how do sinners get right with a holy God? When you die and God asks you, "Why should I let you into my heaven?" what will you say? here's more good news. Jesus not only puts an end to human sacrifice, Jesus is the sacrifice for us. Listen to the gospel reading. The Jews then said, it's taken 46 years to build this temple. You'll raise it in 3 days. But he was speaking of the temple of his body. And when, therefore, he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. The religious leaders turned to Jesus. You're trying to get rid of our temple? You're trying to get rid of our sacrificial system? What are you going to put in the place of our temple? What are you going to put in the place of our sacrificial system? And Jesus said, myself. Today, Jesus says to you, I am your temple. I am your sacrifice. I am the bridge that spans the chasm between sinful people and a holy God. The days of human sacrifice are over. You no longer have to go to bed at night wondering, how can I get right with God? How can I ever make up for all the sins that I've done? How can I ever make God happy with me? Lord, you know what I've done and the shambles I've made of my life. Jesus says, I am your temple. I am your sacrifice. I am that bridge. And the bridge that leads between sinful human beings and a holy God is the bridge that takes the form of a cross. Jesus says to us, my death on the cross is full payment for your sins. My blood-bought victory over sin, death, and the devil is the only sacrifice you will ever need. As one considers self-sacrificial love, there's no better example in literature than Charles Dickens' book, A Tale of Two Cities. In this story, Dickens tells a story of an Englishman named Sidney Carton, who gives his life for his French friend, Charles Darnier. Darnier is in a prison. The next day, he will be put to death by the guillotine. He has a wife and he has children. Carton goes to the prison to visit Darnier with the excuse to bid him farewell. But what he's chosen to do is lay down his life for his friend. So when he gets to the prison, he talks Charles Darnier into giving him his clothing, and he gives Darnier his. Darnier goes out a free man. The next morning, Sidney Carton, dressed in the condemned man's clothing, is marched outside to be put to death. And Dickens paints this picture in this beautiful story, A Tale of Two Cities, of Sidney Carton with his hands tied behind his back, walking up the steps to the guillotine, taking one last look at the world around him, and we're drawn to Jesus' words that says this, greater love has no one than this, but that he would lay down his life for his friends. My dear friends, friends of God, greater love has no one than this, but that he would lay down his life for you and for me. Today is the day to turn, perhaps for the first time, or if not that, at least to return to your Lord, trusting not in your human efforts, your own human sacrifices or good deeds, but trusting only in Jesus and his blood-bought sacrifice for you and for me. Today, Jesus asks us this question. Will it be God's sacrifice or yours? May we believe with our heart, only yours, God, only yours. in the name of Jesus. Amen.